Hi, everybody, and welcome to our third session in the Transform Emotions into Energy series. My name is Allison Bachmeyer, and I'm really happy that I get to spend this time in this way with you today. And thank you for calling it in. Good morning, sunshine. As people are continuing to just hop on the call, I'm going to keep adding them as they come in, so you might see me just a little bit distracted for these first few minutes entering people. And I'm going to invite you, if you have anything in particular in form of a question that's relevant to our topic at hand, or anything that we've done previously for fear and anger, you are welcome to pop that into the chat feature. For those of you listening to the recording, reach out anytime by email or by Facebook Messenger. And you might need to give me just a couple days to get back to everybody. It's a busy week with this and the usual work of client sessions and whatnot. So your patience is greatly appreciated. Yeah, thank you for that. As we dive into transforming grief into its healthy role, its healthy role is that of dispersion. It actually helps to let go, to surrender, to allow. Yay, I always love it when I get to see sunshiny faces. So good to see you. And as we settle on in to this healthy, natural role of dispersion, letting go, you might be wondering, what's the opposite of that? If it's not playing its healthy role, what does that look like? What does that do? And the thing about grief is that it's on its, for the most part, own timeline. And what that means is, if we take grief really personal, or if we try to rush the process of grief, then it can end up actually creating that pathological side, according to Chinese medicine, of grief, which is that of disintegration or destruction of sorts. But it's more of a things are falling apart in a way that can sometimes even feel like a collapse. Usually we associate collapse in Chinese medicine with more of the fear side of things. But with grief, the heaviness, the weight of that grief can actually weigh down the body. And that might be in a particular location. Often grief is more specific to a part of the body. Sadness tends to be overall more generalized and globalized throughout the system. But never say never as to how these things show up, especially if you've had, you know, a lot of grief that hasn't had a chance to be met and receive that loving attention from you. And as we work with it today, let's talk about, from again that Chinese medicine perspective, the different elements and meridians that go with it. So in Chinese medicine, grief works with the metal elements to support that letting go. So it's not surprising to hear that the two meridians that go with that are the large intestine, the colon, and the lung. Yeah. So if we think of letting go, well, it's necessary to exhale. It's necessary to have a bowel movement in order for us to make space to take in the new. So these two meridians are, I think, really interestingly correlated with the first two houses in astrology. And in astrology, they think everything goes through 12 phases. They happen to call them the 12 houses. The lung meridian works with house number one. House number one is very much about new beginnings. So think of when you're first born, your very first breath, in case you're curious, is actually not an inhale. Your first breath when you're born is a exhale to spit out that amniotic fluid to then make space for you to transition from being a water breather to an air breather in a very short amount of time. So the lungs have the capacity to support that depth of new beginning. Imagine if you had to adapt from being an air breather to a water breather in 30 seconds. That's the powerhouse that the lung, when we tap into its fullest potential, can provide as a meridian. Mm-hmm. And the energy that drives that behind that is that of grief. It again helps for that dispersion to make space for the new. This is how powerful the long, the grief is. Yeah. These energies are designed to support us. And in the new beginning side of things, they're meant to help to, in a way, provide a new connection between your psyche and your physical body, or perhaps better put, your personality and your body. So the lung is working with that overlap point. Where does body meet mind is another way that we could talk about that. And the first house energy is very much about new starts, new beginnings. It also helps us to surrender the old. And as we step into the new, what the, I think, most notable thing that the lung meridian does for us is circulate our energy. So that air that it's breathing in contains qi. From a Chinese medicine perspective, that's our vitality. And the lung meridian is meant to help circulate that vitality by means of breathing. So if our breath is shallow or constricted in any way, shape, or form, then we're going to see that limited. And we'll likely see varying different contractions and varying different fragmentations occur between the body and the mind. We might actually call them separate things rather than have a relationship to them as one and the same. Most people do in our current culture and society. We think about the body being separate from the mind and vice versa. And from a certain perspective, and there's lots of different spiritual traditions, etc. out there that marry these ideas and concepts. And there's even quotes from varying different religions as well, that the lung is your connection to that of source, spirit, God, whatever you call that which is eternal. And that energy is meant to sustain via oxygenation and through the mouth, but then from there into every single cell. Respiration happens every single place in the entire body mind. So this lung meridian has far-reaching connections and tendrils into every single aspect, every single fiber, every single cell of your being. Not a small thing. Now, my breathworker brain is coming online and it wants to tell you everything all at once. I'm just going to set that aside. But if you're curious to experience a little bit more about that or know a bit more about breathwork, please feel free to reach out and we can talk about that separately. So as we have this connection to every single cell, breathing in our life force energy, one could say that our lung qi is meant to circulate that life force energy, that vitality, that connection to that which is eternal. Pick your name for it. Okay, what else can I share with you about the first house energy? It correlates to the planetary energy of Mars and it works with the sign of Aries. So lots of drive, lots of desire to make things happen, get things done, take action, start things. So there's often very varying levels of excitement towards starting things in our lives. And that might be because of how we're aspected and configured around our different astrological signs and houses and whatnot. It might also be because of how it is we are relating to our lung meridian. Now, the breath is meant to detoxify our system. It's actually meant to handle the majority of your detoxification. 70% of all of your detoxification happens by means of breathing, according to medical school, yeah, which I was only until third year, not a doctor, left before then to do this work instead. No regrets. Yeah. So as we talk about the detoxification aspect, that happens in big ways, because without proper breathing, your lymph can't flow, it's hard for your digestion to work, all the way down to those teeny tiny cells where we're meant to support cellular detoxification. Now, I also just want to mention a couple more things about the lungs, but then I promise to digress and get into the large intestine. The lung meridian hangs out, it starts actually in that upper outer corner of your chest, and then it goes all the way down to your thumb. And as it traverses this pathway, it then joins on to the large intestine meridian in the second index finger, which comes up and around. Yeah. And it, as it comes up and around, it actually enters through the nostrils. So this flow of lung and large intestine is really interesting to trace through our first two fingers. And as we work, and this is true for actually both meridians, this particular desire of grief and metal elements and the meridians that are associated here are meant to not just support disintegration, dispersion, not disintegration, but it's actually meant for us to have a healthy relationship to that, in particular in our second half of life, when we might be more concerned about aging or declining in a way, is the judgment that often goes with that. So people who have those fears of getting older, those fears of birthdays, that might be something popping up in and around how it is we're relating to our lungs and our lung meridian, as well as to some degree the large intestine is in that mix too. There's a variety of different muscles that work with these guys. I think the big ones are the hamstrings and the low back, the quadratus lumborum, the QL, which hangs out right around that sort of kidney region, roughly. Also works with the deltoids, the diaphragm for breathing. I think we can make sense as to why that might be. And there's this muscle that if you were, for instance, to reach out beside you and grab a pole and kind of contract, you need to use a particular muscle called your serratus anterior. And that's a part of this as well. Now, although it's not necessarily formally listed in Body Talk protocol, I'm going to add one here. And I'm going to add the subclavian muscle. The subclavian muscle, fancy word, hangs up below the clavicle or collarbone, and it helps us to make snow angels and to do that movement. Yeah. So in my experience and my personal experience, as well as supporting others, I do tend to see a lot of grief get stored here. Grief tends to go with that sensation of I've lost something. And that sense of loss might even be that connection to a loved one, a job, an event, or all the way up to that which is eternal. What's your relationship there? If there's a sense of being abandoned or disconnected, or there's something up in that relationship, that can point us in this direction that, there might be some interesting things going on around grief and that sense of loss of connection in those ways that are designed to be healthy and supportive to you, whatever that looks like and however that plays out in your worldviews. Okay, large intestine time. I just need a Kleenex. Excuse me. The large intestine. This correlates with the second house, and the second house is that of possessions and accumulation. So now that we're here and our energy is moving, we want to make sure that we have the right things to give us shelter, to give us life. So it's the accumulation of things like that. Also, the accumulation of how it is we decide to present ourselves to the world and all the different roles that we play. All of our masks can hang out here. A mask is just a fancy word, really, not all that fancy, for identity or role or archetypal energy. Those words are actually a lot more fancy. But as we consider those concepts, the second house, the colon or the large intestine, as it's accumulating these things, is supporting the accumulation in healthy ways by allowing the other things that don't need to be accumulated to release, let go. If we don't end up letting those things go and we just constantly accumulate, then we end up as a hoarder of sorts. And that might not be with physical things, but it might be with mental stuff, emotional stuff, spiritual stuff. So maybe we hoard our emotions rather than express them. Maybe we suppress and repress those. Maybe we hoard our belief systems, our ideas. Maybe we hold them really sacred and we don't consider any other possibilities around letting go. The second house works with the astrological sign of Taurus, the bull, which interestingly enough is also about possessions. Taurus is an earth sign, so it's very much about what do we need to live here and live here really well. It's interested in that. And the planetary energy that naturally hangs out here is that of Venus, which Libra, Venus is also my planetary energy as well. And Venus is very much interested in bringing harmony, order. So for just accumulating and not releasing and letting go and finding that right balance, it usually leads to some level of chaos in some way, shape, or form. So that's a little bit about the large intestine. And as it helps us to release all that's no longer serving, it also helps us to reabsorb our fluids and reabsorb those, for instance, water that needs to be in our system to reabsorb nourishment. So it's very much, again, concerned with that balance of just the right amounts. Just the right amounts. Oh, good morning to everybody joining. Yeah, you're most welcome. Okay, loves. Do you have anything else I want to say with this? I do. When our grief is healthily aspected, we don't actually even have to overthink about what that balance is. We are just connected with our instinctive nature, much like animals are, around what it is we actually need. And in turn, we're able to easily respond and surrender anything that we don't need. And then that in turn creates a capacity for our animal instinct in a very primal, primary way to give us a reaction, to be able to not just react, pardon me, but respond to life. Respond to life. It does happen to have an energy, in case you're wondering about the movement. We've talked about that a fair bit. Fear, we talked about as going quite inward, very contracted. Anger, going outward. Grief isn't going all the way in, but it's a turning inward. If you think of when you've lost a loved one, if you have in your life, odds are high you didn't feel like going out. Odds are high you felt like, I just want to be here and I don't want to move. You might have felt sedentary. Yeah. And you might have even noticed a little bit of collapsing or turning inward, even in on yourself. In my yoga teacher training, they mentioned that forward folds were the pose or the posture of grief. So your yoga practice, they were offering this idea to anyone who was grieving strongly, might change completely. It might just become a practice of forward folds to allow for that to be supported. Yeah. Now, as we correlate all of those associations, the last one that I'm going to talk about is that of dryness. And oh, I keep saying I'm done, but I'm not quite. I'm going to add in one more. The lungs correlate to the skin. So our skin is an organ that's associated with our breathing. There's all sorts of different stories out there. I'm not even sure if there's actually any truth to them or not. According to Snopes.com, they debunk everything. But I know that there was those rumors, or possibly true stories, of, I think it was Goldfinger, some sort of James Bondy thingy. And sorry to those of you who are James Bond fans, didn't mean to just ride a roughshod over that all. I just don't have a connection to it super well. But I like the story where they painted a woman gold and they covered like every square inch of her, and it didn't actually allow for her skin to breathe. And as a result of that, she actually ended up in the emergency room and passed away. There are also all sorts of stories around like cement. So if we get a bunch of cement on our skin, then that in turn can limit oxygenation, which destroys not just the skin, but cellular respiration all the way down to the little guys, and it creates a tremendous compromise. So as for the skin and the dryness, one way you can tell that something might be up in this terrain and at a very early sign is noticing if you have a tendency or you're prone to really dry skin or the opposite. It might indicate excess deficiency. There's a lot of things to consider here, and that's a very complicated web and picture to look at. So I don't want to be so bold as to state that's like the thing that you need to watch at all. There's multiple factors and pieces that go into all of this. Okay? And we are just scratching the surface. We're just doing a minor introduction to all of these concepts. On that note, same is true for our body talk sessions. Our body talk sessions are just scratching the surface. So on that note, if anyone is needing additional support, I'm always happy to connect with you. Just reach out and let me know. You can always hang out at the end of the call too. And if you're hanging out at the end of the call, I just ask that it be relevant to our information as to what we're discussing in terms of day one, two, or today, or another day, by keeping it on point to our material. Any other questions, feel free to email me or Facebook them or Instagram them, or however it is you want to get a hold of me. I'm available. All right, loves. Oh, I love the irony in the chat feature. You have my sense of humor. She mentioned good grief. And someone mentioned that they noticed a tendency to retreat. Yeah, that's very much on point with what Chinese medicine has to say about grief and that desire to sort of turn inward, to go towards the core. My favorite resource, if anybody is in active grief, is his name is Stephen with a PH, Stephen Jenkinson. I might misspell it, or Jenkins, Jenkinson. I'm pretty sure it's Jenkinson. And he's got a documentary. The National Film Board has made it available online for everybody. And the documentary is called Grief Walker. So it's hands down my newest resource on grief that I love to share with everybody. So in case that calls to you, I think the biggest takeaway that I have about Stephen overall as a person is his incredible depth of maturity. So he has sat with these concepts deeply. He walks his talk deeply. He might be even considered to be what's referred to as an elder in our culture, in our society. Yeah. So on that note, I'm going to transition now to doing the session. So I'll invite you to get really comfy and cozy, making any micro adjustments that you might need on your end. I'll do the same. I love your wisdom too. Thanks for being here and sharing that all. And in case you're wondering, I often just talk the chat feature out loud because I don't have the capacity to always type and respond when I'm engaged with all these pieces. So, which doesn't mean don't type in the chat feature. I love it. Feel free to comment as much or as little as you feel called to. And as we begin to just transition and settle in, I'll invite you to go inward. And as you drop inward, perhaps beginning here by means of breathing. And just in case anyone's distracted and wants to know, the other being on my screen that I could have introduced a little earlier is Charlie. And Roxy is below me in case anyone's concerned. We've got them both here. And as we begin here by means of breathing, thank you, Monica, for sharing that link. There's a link in the chat feature to the man. And it doesn't look like they have the whole video here though. So if you check out the National Film Board, and you might get the full extended version. I think it's closer to an hour if memory serves, but thank you for sharing that link. It's a really great starting point. And what they have here is about 35 minutes, it looks like. Okay, I digress. And as you drop inward with your breath, every inhale an opportunity to call in, to connect to life, to receive. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that cushion below you feels pleasant, or at the very least neutral, taking a moment to really receive and savor that. How good can support feel? And then I'm going to invite you to either keep your gaze inward, or if it's easier, you can look outwardly, letting the gaze scan through you or your environment until it settles on anything that it finds that's again pleasant or at the very least neutral. And whatever it's landed on, just giving that your attention. And as you gaze, notice what this is that you like about this the most. What is it that you like the most about this? It might be the color. It might be the way the light plays with it. Could be something that's associated with it. Maybe it's the outline, the shape. Whatever it is that you find yourself appreciating, taking a moment to just simply be with that. And as you hang out with it, savoring and receiving this for the nourishment that it very well may be, and as you drink that all in, I'll offer you my gratitude and my thanks. Thank you for being here. And thank you for being you. Thank you so much to all that's brought you here today. Your families, your ancestors, your lineage. It takes a lot if we look back at all the generations of people that have come before us, to allow for this sweet moment of connection, of togetherness, to be in this way with each other. That kind of synchronicity is pretty awesome. And as you take that in, if there's any part of that that's pleasant or neutral, feel free to enjoy that too. And if it doesn't, if it just floats by, then let it do that. And the deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded this land that's nourished those who have come before us and ourselves. Om. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Peace. Peace. And I'll invite you to scan your body mind one more time. And if there's anything in particular that's calling you, that you're curious about, that you want to just simply declare as an intention, feel free to type that into the chat feature. There's often something quite powerful around declaring our intention. And as we step into the very first item of this session, we're actually, interestingly enough, dealing with an emotional release of just overwhelm. And it's the overwhelm of grief itself. And it looks almost like, you know, those nesting dolls, but it's just the top half. So, you know, you could like take the top half off the doll and then you pull out like the next size smallest and you bring them out. It's like we need to take that top half off and just make a little bit of space and allow for what's underneath to be revealed and seen. And some of this overwhelm looks like it's not necessarily even in relationship to grief, but more so just the busyness, the go, go, go of life, the distractions, the amount of pulls and tugs that we have on us. So, to support this release of overwhelm, I'm going to invite you just to take a few breaths into your upper half of your body. Imagining as best as possible, you can feel or imagine, at the very least, your upper half of your body moving with your breath, everything from the waist up. And it's great if the breath goes lower. It'd be great if your whole body could feel like it was breathing. But for this part, we're just focusing on that upper half. And as you breathe here, connecting the lung meridian's magic in a way through energy circulation via means of breathing. I just simply see that breath cycle gently meeting up to that cap of overwhelm. And then we're linking into house number 12, house of that liver meridian, which helps us to release and let go in its own way. And as it releases and lets go through that liver meridian, it also creates a detoxification and a release of old karmic patterns. So as we link this energy into the 12th house, supporting the release of any karmic patterns around needing to be contained rigidly. So containment's always a good thing, but rigid containment that leads us to feeling like we're excessively frozen without necessarily even being in total fear can create some challenges. Hard to take new action, do new things, live life, engage in new possibilities, new ideas and ways of being if we're stuck in that sort of rigidity. And as soon as we lengthen into house number 12, I see the edges of that shell begin to really soften and become malleable. We're gonna run hydration here to support that, to take in not just water, but joy, and releasing any impurities that no longer serve here. And as that hydration runs, running the permissions. And the words here are, I'm strong enough. I'm strong enough to do this. I'm strong enough. And then I just see almost like somebody taking their sweatshirt off, this capsule just spontaneously starting to disperse. So, in a way, healthy grief energy is here to support that. Then at the same time, running another cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. And it's actually for the diaphragm itself. Now, our regular breathing diaphragm is the one that I'm referring to. You actually have four diaphragms in your system. The crown of the head is thought to contain something similar enough to a diaphragm. Fancy word, tentorium cervidae. Then the thoracic inlet, the base of the throat, has another diaphragm. And the pelvic bowl is thought to act much like a diaphragm. And as we offer the cellular repair to the regular diaphragm, we're actually going to align it with all four diaphragms to support the ease and the movement of that breath, of that energy to circulate through the system. And as we get these diaphragms moving and grooving in sync with each other, linking it all into the throat chakra for its role in communication. And it's just general communication, whether that's, about letting go, taking in, or anything else. And as we work with that concept of communication or expression, including in that not just verbal, but the nonverbal expressions that we have. And that's linking into a little somatic exploration around boundaries. The lung also supports healthy boundary energy in a way. So if you're up for it, I invite you to take your hands with the palms facing outward to the shoulders, like so. Then the invitation is to just gently press outward, might make a little sound with it, might be like woo, ah, also works great. And then the hands might reach a natural stopping point. They might be in different places. Wherever they stop, they get to land there, declaring that this gets to be your space. And when we have space, there's actually room for energy to flow. Okay. Now, you're welcome to rinse and repeat that a few times. And as you do so, you might go in just different directions each time. And you're welcome to continue that as much or as little as you like, as I will go on with the session shortly here. But know that you can keep coming back to this woo or ah in any direction, and wherever the hands land, declaring that this is your space, this is your boundary. And as we do that, it's linking into healthy Wei Qi. Wei Qi is an energy layer that surrounds your entire external body. Is meant to protect, communicate, and to synthesize. And as it protects, communicates, synthesizes, it's meant to do that on multiple frequencies, whether that's physically to prevent us from illness, whether that's emotionally to protect us from overwhelm or anything else, really being in healthy alignment with our emotions, whether that's our climate. How is it we're relating to hot weather, humid weather, cold weather? Or how is it we're relating to our electromagnetic field of our own thinking, of our own psychic thoughts? And as we work with these on these basic frequencies, those are the big four, there's others as well. So as we just do a general support or expansion of the Wei Qi, it actually has more room, it has more space now with these healthy boundaries in play. And I see that as particular orienting to the family that we were talking about yesterday, where those patterns around anger and using, in a way, a form of people-pleasing to control your external environment. That's the same family we're talking about. Although you might see this play out in other family environments as well, whatever you consider to be family. I've got certain communities that feel like family to me. So if that's true for you as well. And as we expand that, Wei Qi, it's linking into house number 8, again, we're bringing in that regeneration, this rebirth, this regeneration energy. And as the body mind drinks that in, invitation to breathe and receive as we tap out this part. Breathing however the body mind may feel called to. Okay, and now we're heading into the heart of the matter, so to speak, and as we work with the grief energy, it's actually hanging out just below that diaphragm that we were working with, and it goes all the way across, almost this energy of feeling like splits into two. And that weight of the grief, making it challenging at times to have even flow between upper and lower body. And the diaphragm is such a common place for this to get stuck, and it actually impacts how we process all of our emotions. And as we work with that, we're actually working from a Chinese medicine perspective with a large intestine meridian pattern that can be caused by overexposure to cold. So whether that's you live in Canada or North America in winter, or whether that's you're sitting on like a cool ground, so even if you live in a warm climate, but you have a tendency to sit on like the basement tiling, or cement floors, or the like, it can have a tendency to lead to interesting abdominal pains, and you're not even sure where they might be coming from, the diarrhea. It can also go with worry, anxiety, depression. And that can even happen to intrigue you to eat more foods that are cold. And what we mean by cold in Chinese medicine is raw, not cooked. So raw veggies, for instance, would be cold. Once you cook them, that changes everything. Or if you add a bunch of like healthy fats to the raw ones, that begins to switch up that dynamic too. Lots to go into that, but as we release this pattern of large intestine coolness, I see it as metaphorically, in a way, releasing the patterns of when your large intestine might be frozen in place because it's not sure. What do I let go of? What do I keep? And in essence, we're releasing from this the pattern of thinking that we're always in the wrong or doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing, acting the wrong way. And as we release this pattern for quote unquote being in the wrong, it's linking into another pattern actually with the lung meridian. And the lung meridian for this one is working with excess phlegm. Phlegm might be like mucusy sorts of things. And if you remember my analogy from yesterday around like stagnant water in a field, and that field being maybe long standing with that stagnant water, that can set the stage for things to rot. And it's interesting, the smell of grief can be rottenness. It can smell like rotten fish in a way. So I know it's a strong image, I know. And as we work with this excess of phlegm in the lungs, we're also working with excessive fluids. So the pattern is called lung phlegm fluids, lung phlegm fluids. That can lead to just feeling out of breath easily. It can lead to having excess sputum come out that might not even have yellow or green or interesting colors associated with it. It might be more like clear or white and kind of opaquish. And that's a sign that we're in a chronic state of stress and the body's just continually agitating and creating inflammation within us because potentially of this lung meridian pattern and likely some other factors in there. Can also with this go a tendency to cough, have worry, anxiety, poor diet can go here. They might actually be quite averse to coolness, coldness. So you can see how these two patterns that we've talked about within the large intestine and the lung might be creating more complicated issues because this part doesn't like to be cold. And along with that, a tendency to be overworking, to stay busy, to the point where you might be exhausted and run down, but you'll just stay on that track because it feels more comfortable to overwork. Yeah. Not that I know anything about this at all, but you might have a tendency to have that almost like an addiction of sorts. It might provide some level of comfort because as long as you don't slow down, you don't have to feel all the pieces that are happening for you in your life on that emotional level. And it might be a way that you've managed to prevent that awareness of overwhelm as being something that might be really strong or a lot to deal with. So as we work with these two meridian patterns that in a way are kind of butting heads with each other and clashing, I see it as unwinding like something that's been braided, but with just with like two things. So I guess more of a twist than a braid. And as it untwists, running a defrag, much like that computer defrag or spring clean. And it's coming off of the connective tissue of the regular breathing diaphragm. As we do that, I don't always go here, but often enough when we're unwinding the connective tissue, we have to go to what the anchor for that is. And the anchor for all of your connective tissue holdings in your entire body is your tongue. So odds are high if you've got adhesions or twists in your connective tissue anywhere, it will be reflected somewhere in the tongue. We might not always be aware of it because it might be kind of subtle. So as we do that, I actually see it unwinding the tongue right in the midline. And it's like this push-pull thing happening, as if the right side was trying to brace and the left side was getting really a tendency to collapse. And the right side was almost like trying to brace against that happening. So as we simultaneously unwind the connective tissue, the meridian patterns alike in that diaphragm region, also working with that midline of the tongue all the way to the root of the tongue. The tongue's a very big muscle and incredibly strong, incredibly strong. And as we do this, actually just see, for those of you who might have had the experience now or when you were earlier in your life as a newborn, and you might have had like a tongue tie thing happening. I'm just seeing us also release that adhesion for anyone who might need that, which won't be everybody, but if you need that piece, we're gonna unwind that adhesion right through that midline of that tongue tied piece. And then for everybody, we're giving you permission to just let that tongue do what it does best, not just govern the connective tissue, but to express and to connect to pleasure. It's thought that when we kiss, when we share a kiss, when an animal kisses you, if you let your dogs and cats kiss you, or whatever animals, horses, etc., that they're sharing their heart with you because the heart meridian correlates to the very tip of the tongue. Yeah. I always love the poetry in Chinese medicine. Yeah. And as we work with that all, there's this connective tissue also unwinding now vertically from the left pelvis. And if you're in a female body, that's the ovary. If you're in a male body, that is the testicle, all the way up to the left eye. And then we're going to do the same thing on the other side in just a little bit. The stuff on the left side is carrying grief from the things that you lost out on that you are aware of could have been different if only, X, Y, or Z had happened, if only mom or dad had been this way, if only that piece of trauma or that active memory or that emotional charge didn't create this ripple effect of a pattern throughout your whole life. What could have been possible? What could have been possible? And then the right side actually is interesting to look at. It helps to counterbalance in its own way. So that grief around that sense of loss around what would have been possible is actually really important to look at and to be with and to pay attention to. The right side, I should mention why, it's important to look at and be with as a part of healing trauma, as a part of healing any emotional activations that might be dysregulating your nervous system. It's hard to heal without that grieving, without that mourning process. It's a necessary component to heal. So it's not a bad thing to grieve. It's just a bad thing, maybe, if I want to use that word at all, to rush it. But even the rushing of grieving might be information that could be quite useful as to pointing to other patterns also going on in your life. So really, nothing's all that bad. It's just information. And as we work with that, on the right side, the story is quite a bit different between those two. The story here is, first of all, we need to run a cellular repair in that connection, that relationship, for you to more clearly see and take in your vitality, your natural healthy vitality that's here, even though it might feel like it's being drowned out in grief at times. And as we restore this vitality, I actually see the large intestine meridian come into play. It's like, oh, good grief, pun intended. I can finally have the energy that I need to release what I no longer need to hang on to. So as we offer the large intestine the energy that it needs as a resource, the natural way and rhythm that it's meant to flow and interact with all of the rest of the organs, the meridians, the five elements alike, begin to restore. I have the image almost of like a motor coming to life again. And it feels like the chug, 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 chug of a train that's like, all right, I remember how to do this. I remember how to chug things along. And the large intestine is a little like a train chugging along or a conveyor belt of sorts. It just works in one direction only. The problem occurs is if that directionality switches or if it pauses for too long. So as we restore this, it's linking into nerve supply for all the varying components of the large intestine. It's got quite a few pieces to it. It's got the ascending colon, it's got which arises from the ileocecal valve, it's got the horizontal portion, it's got the descending colon that then turns into the sigma, and then down and out, the sigmoid, pardon me, and then down and out through the rectum and anus. So it actually encircles your whole diaphragm. Sorry, your whole abdomen, and runs underneath that diaphragm, right where we were unwinding some other patterns. And in a way, as it forms almost, not quite, almost a complete circle, it affords us that capacity to connect to that vitality even more. How good can we feel when we let those things go that we know aren't working well for us, that we know aren't serving us, but we hang on to them anyways, often out of, well, fear or something else going on. So as we outline that, literally the outline, just giving rise to a new potentiality, a new capacity here for grief to be seen in a different light. How is it we relate to grief can set the stage for how well grief works for us versus against us, or seemingly against us. It's never really against us, it's us who makes it that way. And as we supportively allow this all to continue to flow, we're bringing in that healthy nerve supply, as I mentioned, to make sure that it's peristalsis, which is the fancy word for the movement that happens on that conveyor belt, that chug, chug, chugging of the train, to move things on through. And as we restore nerve supply, to make sure that's coordinated and synchronous in a way, allowing for this letting go, the surrender, the allowing to become even easier. And then we're releasing whatever layers are ready to go around self-importance, the need to hold ourselves in certain ways or be seen in certain lights or continue certain, potentially even like relationships and certain patterns are all going to be considered here. And as we unfold this, I'm simultaneously running cortices through the enteric nervous system, through the gut brain, along with switching, which helps us to cope or deal with stress. At the same time as that, so take all of that and imagine we can put it just over here for now. At the same time as all of that, we're heading into the lung meridian. And the lung meridian, as we mentioned, sets the stage for new beginnings. So, in essence, what's possible here now that the large intestine meridian can flow and move and groove with greater ease? And as we head into the lungs, running the permissions, it's safe to breathe here now. And we're doing that in this moment, as well as for when you took your very first breath, which was that exhale of the amniotic fluid, inhale of air. It's safe to breathe here now. Followed by a second permission, it's safe to be here now. And now, breath is actually a behavior. We don't always think of it as such. In part because our breath is, I think our breath is really cool. It is the only physiological function that we can govern ourselves. We can take over our breath, or will keep happening for us even when we're at rest, even when we're asleep. The body mind just keeps on breathing for us. And this is the only functionality in the whole body mind that can do that. But I digress on the breath, I'll get going on that again. So as we work with the breath here in this way. And offering it the permissions of it being safe to take in new life. Invitation to take a few gentle, easy breaths. And as you do so, imagining potentially that moment of your first breath and just continuing to breathe as easily as you possibly can, which supports our nervous system in repatterning any behaviors that might be associated with how it is you took your very first breath. So if that first breath held panic, that echo of panic may at times in similar situations triggers or might just be generally there creating anxiety that you're not sure where it's coming from, for example. This long-standing way of breathing and being. And as we release that emotional charge, the breath gets to behave in a way that actually leads to supportive nervous system regulation. It's extremely difficult to balance our nervous system or to heal anything, because that's required for healing well, if our breath is stuck in certain patterns. So as we release that first breath and whatever behavior was in there for you, whether it be panic or anything else that wasn't supportive for you, running the permissions. Thank God you were born. Thank God you're here. You came right when we really, really wanted you to be here. If you can imagine in that very first breath, even if none of that was true for you back then, that you get to be welcomed here and now. Softly, lovingly welcoming yourself and repatterning as a gift to yourself. You are welcome here. You are welcome here. And to whatever degree the body mind takes that up is perfect. And it's okay if, 90% of it is like, nah, I don't think so. But if 10% of it gets in, 1% gets in, yay. More cool. It's all welcome. Even the part of you that might be fighting against it gets to be welcome here too. And as that gets taken in, we're linking it into your conception vessel meridian, your primary feminine that runs up the midline of the front of the body and governs how it is you relate to nourishment. What is it to be nourished by each and every inhale? Each and every inhale offering even new potential for possibilities, for healing, for wholeness. And as we release that, pardon me, as we do that, releasing the identity slash belief of I am broken. And I see it coming off of the tricep region in the back of the arm, as well as in through the back of the upper shoulder, back of the upper neck, or the whole neck, back of the upper skull, whole skull, pardon me. Pretty much all the way down from the skull down to the elbow on that left side. And as that happens, unwinding any sort of like kinks and almost like a garden hose from your large intestine meridian that contraction was placing pressure on, making it even easier to let go and even easier to accumulate what it means to be welcomed. What it means to be nourished, So accumulating that which nourishes you, body, mind, soul. And then we're going to tap that out here. Invitation to breathe however you may feel called to. And at any point, you can always revisit that resource that we started with. So if any of that was getting a little bit too edgy or activating, feel free to revisit what that thing was that was pleasant at the very beginning. Knowing that you can always come back and forth between the material that we outlined and that resource. And as you go back and forth between the two, they may blend in some interesting ways or not, might give you extra information. But none of that is required unless it calls you. And as we begin to bring this in for a nice soft landing, it's all integrating through to the nose, the sense that's the most primal. It's the only sense that goes up to portions of the head brain without having to go through that thalamus, which is, as I mentioned, I think on the first day maybe, or maybe it was the second day. That thalamus is like Grand Central Station. Nothing gets in or out of our brain without going through this guy, with the exception of smell. This is how important smell is. It's said that we don't fall in love with our partner. We fall in stink with our partner. We're actually attracted to the pheromones, the hormones that they secrete. Now, as we work with this, we're actually going into the little, inside the nostrils, there's these little sort of like turbines in a way that allow for air to be funneled through with greater ease. And in the turbines themselves, doing any cleanup work and releasing any old, again, patterns that no longer serve in terms of how it is you're relating to your partners. And if you are in a committed relationship, that might be cleaning out some old baggage, some old grief around like, oh, this person is acting like this again. Oh. Or if you are not in a relationship and you would like to be, just setting the stage for that. And it doesn't have to be romantic. It might be business or otherwise. And as we release those relationship patterns from how it is your inhale, how it is your air is entering, offering the permission so things get to be a little easier now. And in a way, setting the stage for a welcoming, welcoming of ease in your relationships and your partnerships. What if every inhale could be a soft, gentle invitation for even more of the same soft, gentle receptivity? And as we work with the nose in this way, connecting us primally to what it means to be at ease within ourselves, it's being defined by the consciousness of softness and protection. What if it gets to be both soft and protective? It's possible to have both. Now we're linking this all into the second house, the house of the large intestine. And the house of accumulation. So what is it you want now that the stage has been cleared to a certain extent in your partnerships, in your relationships? And then we're going to run the reciprocal between bone in the nose to xiphoid, just below the sternum, which helps also to open up the heart to receive even more and to happen in a way that brings in harmony into those relationships and partnerships. invitation to breathe. However the body mind feels called to as we tap this part in here. I don't think I mentioned it at the beginning, but in case it wasn't clear, the nose, the sense of smell, is the processing center for the lungs, the large intestine, for grief, for all things metal elements. And when we are in deep, deep grief, often we lower our head, we turn inward. Which I think is significant in terms of how the nose moves. The nose might fall in just a little bit. Okay, beautiful. As we bring that all in for a nice soft landing, a reminder of supports for you, diaphragm to intestine, cortices. And I'm available, so you're welcome to hang out. For as long or as little as you like. I have a little song to play here. And I just really want to offer my thanks. Again, thank you for calling this work in. Thank you for calling this medicine in. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Now we're at the part that's always challenging for me, which is to pick the song. And I had a few outlines, and I know I went a little bit longer in today's session, so I'm actually going to pick the song simply based on the fact that this one's a little bit shorter than the others that I had selected as possibilities. And the song, some of you may have heard me play in Buddhas and Butterflies before, it's called The Voice. It's by a Celtic woman, and the album is A New Journey. It's 3 minutes.
You hold my hand.
Thank you again for your time, your precious, precious time and energy, and spending it in these ways. It is deeply valued. And my love to you all. If anyone would like a little additional support one-on-one with the relevant material, feel free to hang out. Anything else, feel free to message me. And on that note, I would love it if you guys would be open to sharing this work in any way that calls to you. Social media, emailing, letting a friend know, however that might be for you, if that speaks to you, or if this session spoke to you, feel free to pass it on. This will be free and available in recording format, and then the others, they have an opportunity to join in live. And this will be free and available until June 8th this year. So have at it. And I'm going to sign off for now. And mwah, mwah, mwah. Give you all the love. Bye for now.